verse 9 of chapter 12 said, "And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much more then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other." Preaching the message on the subject, pleasing God through obedience. Pleasing God through obedience. If there's anyone on the outside, you may let them in at this time. I've been to 4 congregations on my vacation, but I'm glad to be back here on this Sunday. Pleasing God through obedience. What do you like to do on your day off? Sleep? Go to the park? Go to the movies? Watch television? Visit friends? Clean the house? Whatever. Whatever you like doing on your day off, you hope to do it. You hope to be good to you. You may not look to do what your family, friends, or even your place of employment want you to do because you know it is your day off. The Sabbath, many believe that it was designed to be a day of rest. And some believe that it is still designed to be a day of rest alone. And for others, it is a day of rest and worship. And yet, it is also looked at as a day of worship only. How one spends the Sabbath is between that person and God. At any rate, one must be in the business of pleasing God through obedience, which can only come by faith. Hebrews 11:6 tells us this. God can only be pleased by faith. It was on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees spent their day of rest, worshiping, trying to do what they wanted to do. Their worship was not really to God. Their worship was to show others that they was going through a form of worship and not necessarily worship. It was on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees spent their day of rest and worship trying to trap Jesus. They accused him of doing wrong when he and his disciples were getting food to eat. They plucked the corn, not for to sell, not for profit, but to eat. However, however, Jesus called the man in front of everyone to stretch forth his hand as Jesus commanded. The Pharisees stood back and watched as they waited for Jesus to break their Sabbath law and its interpretation. Their goal was to trap Jesus, accuse him, and then bring him up on charges that he broke the law. When someone is doing God's work, but others are in the background setting traps and influencing others to follow along, you know Satan is in the house. You know that the enemy has entered in, because that's not God's way. That's not God's purpose. God's purpose is that we go forward after him so that we may be able to glorify God and to lift up the kingdom. But you know, when there is confusion in the house, you know Satan has entered in. And it's up to the saints to pray the power of prayer that Satan may leave. When you begin to quote scripture, Satan backs up. When you begin to call on the name of Jesus, Satan has to back up, and his demons have he'll wait for us. Since Jesus did not agree to follow the Pharisees' plan, to accept their plan or their brand of religion, they moved to trap him falsely with stealthy tricks, lies, and schemes. The sad part about it was that these were the very people who said they were lovers of God. But their love really wasn't for God. It was for their lust of gaining control and keeping people bound. Apparently, this man had this withered hand, a lifeless hand, a non-functioning hand for a long time. The background information tells us that this man was a carpenter. He needed his hand. Meanwhile, the religious leaders could not cure him. Instead, they may have walked on the other side of the street to avoid contact with him. But here he is in the synagogue among hypocrites. But not even hypocrites could keep him away from seeking God. Not even hypocrites could keep him out of the presence of God. Oh, I'm so glad, hallelujah, when people come to me and they say, well, there's nothing but hypocrites in the church. I say, well, praise God, I'm so glad that my God is there too. And I'm so glad, hallelujah, I'm so glad that no hypocrite can keep me from going to the house of God, hallelujah, because my eyes are not on hypocrites, my eyes are on Jesus. I'm so glad because no hypocrite died for me, no hypocrite saved me. I'm so glad that Jesus saved me. Aren't you glad that Jesus saved you? Hallelujah. So nothing or no one, I don't care what label they have, they can't keep me out of the house of God. I've been born again. Do I have a witness? Do I have a witness? Being born again would say I could walk among the hypocrites. I could walk among the enemies because my Lord is able to protect me. And he's able to do all things but fail. Do I have a witness? Oh, I need a stronger witness than that. I know I have a witness. I'm not worried about any hypocrites being in the house of God. As long as God is in the house of God, I'll just walk right by and say, thank you, Jesus, for bringing me in. And if enough saints come in, the hypocrites have to go. I don't care where they are. I don't care what church they're in. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Because Satan will always set a trap for the children of God to get frustrated and to get mad and to leave. But I'm not leaving. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to serve God.